May the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, always be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Father Linder said he usually has about a 45-minute sermon. And I...
Except in February, that's a short
one. Oh, I see. Okay. Well, I can smell the bacon cooking, so I can guarantee you it's not going to be that long. I am Terry Taylor, a retired priest, live in Danville, and I've been here before, but it's been a long, long time ago. I'm glad to be here, and I understand that Father Linder is at his daughter's wedding in Charleston, somewhere, South Carolina anyway. So I'm sure that his wife appreciated that he showed up. Jesus of Nazareth did a lot of healing. But his job, his purpose for coming out was to proclaim the good news, or as we call it, we just read, the gospel, the good news. And the good news is that no longer are we burdened by sin or that which separates us from God the Creator. No matter how pious or how holy or how hard we work and how hard we try, we cannot keep from falling into sin, which is separation from God, because we are human. We do those things which we should not do, and we don't do those things which we should do, and we are separated from God. Now, in our Lord's time, there were those of the Jewish faith tried very, very hard to keep the commandments. And so they would not break the commandments, from which there was no appeal once you broke them. They hedged them around with all kinds of little rules and regulations. For instance, you could only walk 1 mile on the Sabbath, because if you walk more than a mile on the Sabbath, then you were sinning. You broke the law, thou shalt not work. My first trip to Israel years ago, I was there at the guest of the Jewish community of Cleveland, and we stayed in Menorah Hotel, which is in the West Jerusalem, Jewish part of town. And I was right by the elevator, and it was Sabbath, and I was so aggravated because the elevator kept going up and down all night long, and I thought, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, who's on this elevator? And I inquired about that, and well, no one was on the elevator, because on Sabbath it is set so that it runs from the first floor to the 10th floor and then comes back stopping at every floor. So the folks that are there on Sabbath will not have to push the button, because that's work. Now, we see that as kind of silly, but they were really, and they still do, try very, very hard not to break God's law. But we know, and Jesus knew, that it avails us very little, because we are constantly breaking God's law. We are selfish. We don't do those things which we should do. We're envious of others. We take things which do not belong to us. Or in little ways, we slight others. So Jesus comes out, and he begins to proclaim the good news, which is that salvation and the path to God is through believing in him. Now, as I often say, and some of you are of my vintage, when we had the 1928 prayer book, we would say, Jesus is a propitiation for our sins. Now, I never knew what propitiation meant. I've never figured it out. But I do know it takes 14 words to replace it in the new prayer book. So it must be a powerful word. But it means basically, of course, that he is the ransom for us. He paid the price for us. So Jesus comes out with that purpose to the people of Israel. But the word got around that he was like the prophets of old, and he could heal. And this poor man that we hear of today in Luke's gospel, who has leprosy, comes to Jesus and said, "If you would, you could heal me." And Jesus said, "I can and I will." And he healed the man. And obeying the law of the time, he said, "Now go show yourself to the priest and give the offering at the temple that you're supposed to give as Moses commanded you. And don't tell anybody." Leprosy is a terrible disease. It still exists in many places in the world. It's a terrible disease. Not only does it disabilitate people physically and eventually can kill, but the worst part of it in the olden times was the fact that once you had leprosy, you could not associate with anybody. When they found out you had leprosy, they sent you off to a desert place. You were away from your family. You were not allowed to touch anything that anybody else touched. And certainly they couldn't touch anything that you touched. So there was no work they could do. So they became poverty-stricken. Even if their shadow fell upon somebody that was healthy, they were punished. And in medieval times, they had to walk along with a bell, ringing the bell, saying, "Unclean, unclean," so that people could avoid even their shadow. A disease that was complete in its disassociation with human life. There was nothing left. And so this man comes, and out of pity and compassion, Jesus heals him. Tells him not to say anything. Well, now, how many people who are told, "I'll tell you a secret, but you can't tell anybody else," how many people keep the secret? Not many. That's almost like saying, "I want it told." Now, I'm not saying that Jesus was devious in this, but I wonder if he really thought that this man would keep quiet. Now, I guess he wished he would, because Jesus was there to proclaim the gospel and not to do the healing. It was so bad that he had to withdraw into the countryside because everybody was coming to him for healing and they weren't listening to the word. And they came from all the corners of the earth, it said. Jesus continued to heal and he continued to bless those who were suffering from sin and so forth. But his purpose, as he said, "The reason I came out was to proclaim the gospel." And he tells the people of his time, and he tells us, that we are beloved by God the Father. And God the Father would not lose a single one of us from his presence. And that's what sin is. When you commit sin, God, who is perfect, cannot have you in his presence, and therefore you are cut off from God. What a terrible thing. The presence of God, which created all and knows all and does all and has everything. But through the merits of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we are able to cast off these sins. Now, we have to work at it. We have to be sincere in what we believe and what we do and do the best we can as fallible human beings and try to grow in grace and go forward every day to be a little stronger in a Christian faith. And for those who achieve this and believe in Jesus Christ, we are guaranteed and given the opportunity, the wondrous opportunity, the tremendous gift of dwelling with our Lord in heaven forever. And everybody says, "Well, what's heaven like?" And I don't know. I haven't been there yet. I hope to get there, but not yet. And some lady in my former parish came to me distraught one day, and her dear dog had died. And she said, "Father Terry, is it true that dogs have no soul? Will I not see my dog in heaven?" And I said, "Mary Jane, dogs don't have a soul, but heaven is supposed to be a perfect place with all happiness and joy. And I can tell you that if my dogs aren't there, I'm not going to be happy and full of joy. So Let's assume that the Lord our God is merciful and will give us all things that we need. And in that place, we will see all of those who have gone before. And won't we be surprised with some of the ones we see there? And won't we be full of joy in that day? Believe the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. Rejoice in healing, but rejoice in more, in his salvation that was given to us free of charge, no cost. Amen.